It's just an anonymous room. There's nothing in the drawers, but you look anyway. Nothing except the zombie takeout, which I, of course, listen to religiously.
Welcome to episode 506 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
Hello, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, a little news. Yes, an actual news story. We haven't done one. It feels like years since we've done a news story.
Audible gasp.
From Variety, Bob Odenkirk says he's starring in a remake of Tommy Wiseau's The Room. Quote, I tried my best to sell every line. Bob Odenkirk has shared that he's starring in a remake of the 2003 cult film The Room, taking on the lead role of Johnny, originated by the film's writer and director Tommy Wiseau. Slash Film first reported on the project on Wednesday morning, with the Better Call Saul star corroborating the contained details through a post on his Twitter account saying, quote unquote, this is real, this is true. Odenkirk wrote Wednesday evening, and let me tell you, I tried my best to sell every line, as honestly as I could, and I had a blast. Wiseau's representation tells Variety that Wiseau Films was not contacted on the matter of licensing. In fact, Wiseau and his associates were not aware of the project until Wednesday.
What? Like, how do you do that? How do you legally do that?
I'm wondering the same. First off, trying your best to sell every line does not fit the... Well, I guess it does fit
it does.
The room, because Tommy Wiseau is definitely trying his best to sell every line. But yeah, I don't know how you do a remake of a movie without getting permission from the writer, director, or rights holder, unless Wiseau doesn't own the rights.
Yeah, maybe. That's the only way I could think about it.
Yeah. Also... Okay.
Yeah, I don't see. Just not. Are we ready to discuss the why?
That's exactly where I was going.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see a point to remaking The Room.
There's only one person that I can think of off the top of my head that could remake The Room.
Neil?
Of course.
Yeah, Neil Breen, yes. If Neil Breen was doing a remake of The Room, I'd be all for it. If Tommy Wiseau wanted to take another swing at it, I'd be cool with that.
If I had a long lost uncle that, you know, suddenly, or a genie that just made me a billionaire,
right?
I would dump a boatload of money in front of Breen and say, remake The Room.
But a budget remake with Bob Odenkirk of, you know, Better Call Saul, Mr. Show, why?
Yeah, wouldn't it be better with, well, I guess, I mean, Odenkirk's a good actor and stuff too. But he's funny, you know? And I wouldn't want a funny person in there. I want a person with no sense of humor in there.
Well, there's that. There's the actual talent involved, unlike the original.
I would cast, like, a serious and not necessarily good actor, like a Kevin Sorbo or somebody, you know?
I'd give him work, but...
Yeah, but it's The Room.
Yeah, fair. but it's the opposite of painting a mustache on the Mona Lisa.
Right. It's giving her like a big makeover or something. It just doesn't make any sense.
It would be like taking Guided by Voices and putting them in Abbey Road. The beauty of their music is that it is super lo-fi and just, you know, homemade and real. Put them in Abbey Road, give them like, you know... A pop producer, it doesn't work.
See, handing this off to Breen would be brilliant because he would try to play multiple roles in the damn thing.
No,
he would add some strange CGI effects in
desperate
there that would
to see his attempt at it. I don't think this version needs to happen, and I'm probably not going to bother with it as much as I love The Room.
It would be like the Independence Day guy, or Bruckheimer, Primer.
Right.
You'd just be like, wait, what?
And finally, on to this week's movie, which is from 2000, Memento, speaking of mindfucks. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Atemporality. Chronology is for the week.
And also brought to you by the Discount Inn. Come for the service, stay for the Discount Inn. Come for the service, stay for the Discount Inn. Come for the service, stay for the Discount Inn. Come for the service, stay for the Discount Inn.
Yeah, I decided not to stop you.
Yeah, I figured that was what was happening there. All right, so I have two options to do this.
I told Scott earlier that while I was watching the film that I couldn't help imagining him carbo loading and stretching before the plot summary like he was about to run a marathon.
I can do it the way the movie tells it, or I can do it chronologically. And of course, if I do it chronologically, well, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this from 23 years ago.
Right.
And anyway, I mean, obviously we're going to have to discuss the ending, so spoiler alerts now, right up front, if you have not seen this yet and don't want this ruined.
It kind of ends with the beginning, but...
Honestly, though, well, yeah, but it's all about the why in the end.
Oh, of course, right.
Rather than, because yes, so yeah, I'll do this in the way the movie does it. And that's going to be tough because it means remembering every part of the movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'm going to really be able to do that. It begins, this man has this case of amnesia where he can only remember, he can't build his memory.
Hmm.
He only has long-term memories.
His only memories are before this accident that caused his amnesia.
Right. He's incapable of building short-term memory. And yes, he only has memories up to this accident. And I guess we won't quite go in the movie order. Hmm. But yes, it was a home invasion. His wife was raped and murdered. And he attempts to stop it. And he gets his head slammed into a wall. And from that point on, he can't remember more than, say, sometimes like only 5 minutes into ahead.
Not even that much, like less than a minute, it seemed.
Yeah, it depends. Like, where if the focus is lost, he's lost whatever just happened,
As someone with ADHD, I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah, as someone who's taken a lot of shots to the head, the scene with, the dudes and their wives, kind of like, is that going to be me? is that my future? So, he's trying to solve his wife's murder and track down the killer. And by doing this, he's tattooing important clues to himself. He's taking this system of notes. He somehow has the whole police file on the case, which of course the first red flag. He's being helped by this kind of shifty guy named Teddy,
played by Joey Pants, which gives you an idea.
Joey Pants, who keeps just showing up in random places, or we think it's random places, but when you pull back, it's like, oh, it's because he was called there. Oh, it's because, they were supposed to meet. And, oh.
If it's Joey Pants in the role, he's a weasel.
Yes.
I'm not saying that about Joey Pants, but that's the character he always plays.
And I think, at least, it's pretty damn obvious that there's a setup involved, I think I was only like 20, 24 minutes into it. And it was like, Teddy's getting set up, or Teddy got set up, because we begin the movie with him just, you think they're working together.
Hmm.
And then he just suddenly takes a gun out and kills him. Kills him, who looked a person that looked like his friend.
Hmm.
It's funny. I thought I was spoiling something when I said that. And I realized, oh, wait a minute. They do it right at the beginning.
That's the very beginning of the movie. You see,
that's how the movie begins.
A photo, and it pulls back from the photo, and then it goes straight to backwards footage of him shooting Teddy, Joey Pants' character, in the head.
And it shows that he's getting information that he is, in fact, the killer. That the license plate that was written down, that was tattooed on him, was his car, and that his real name, his name isn't even Teddy. It's he was looking for a Johnny G, and that was his actual name. So, but it's pretty obvious, I think, that Teddy was set up by somebody else. And then they pull back further to reveal that he's been with this woman who's tied with a drug dealer, and it's kind of like a wait, what? What are the odds, you know? And that she tells him to go and rough up her boyfriend, and he goes and pretty much well, first you see that he just like kind of kicks his ass and locks him in a closet. They pull back to reveal that no, there was a big chase, that he actually chased him, and
To clarify the format of the movie, there's one scene section that's in black and white that's told chronologically, and another section, and they go back and forth between them in color, that's told in a scene, and then it goes back in time to what happened right before that scene, and then right before that scene, and right before that. So it's kind of not told backwards as in backwards footage, but it's steps back slowly in time.
I was just expecting Kramer with a giant lollipop getting smaller as the movie progressed. No, getting larger.
I don't remember the reference.
It's the Seinfeld backwards
Don't
episode,
remember it.
which actually, I think they did this a couple years before this movie, actually. And actually, that was a tribute to Harold Pinter. I believe it was the play was called The Affair, which is the same format as this as well, where you begin with this couple just having an affair, and then it kind of goes back to how they got into that situation.
Well, this was a TV, a well-trodden TV format probably before this movie came out,
The backwards thing?
where it was the story starts at the end at some kind of big event, and then it shows slowly how they got to that event.
Sure, it usually doesn't work backwards quite in this way.
Not quite, but it is, how we got to this thing that happened.
Like Seinfeld actually changed a character's name, a minor character's name, to Pinter. They said they changed their name in homage to Harold Pinter. So where was I? Oh, he was being chased by this drug dealer, and it got to get into that corner to ambush him and beat him up. And that's when he called Teddy to help him. And so they take him out to it's kind of weird what they do. They just let him go.
Which one?
The Dodd,
Yeah, I
which re
don't remember exactly what they did with Todd.
it really didn't make any sense, because he wrote instructions to himself to get rid of him. And instead of killing him, which is I think what Natalie wanted him to do, he just tells him to get out of town or something.
Okay, I didn't exactly remember that part.
Like he gets in a truck and is a truck and just drives away. It's
Like,
kind of like a
I distinctly remember not remembering how the dog thing wrapped up, and
right.
I was running late, so I didn't bother going back.
Well, there's good reason, because it makes zero sense. Like it was like, what? So he doesn't kill him, he just kind of beats him up and lets him go. All right. That's at least what I could follow out of it. Then it pulls back even further to reveal that Natalie is manipulating him. That she's like, I can do whatever, say whatever, taunts him and kind of makes fun of him. There's frequent use of the R word, of course, which I know we talked about. I forgot what album that was in the 2000s on the hearing about the commonality of the word. I think it was Gemini. And yes, for some reason in the early 2000s, the R word was really prevalent in pop culture. Black Eyed Peas, this, Gemini.
Which is
Who knows?
interesting because I remember got a story time in the first year of the Tuesday afternoon show involving that word in 2005. And at that point, we were shocked by it.
Because it, and the point of the story time was, remember, it was still a medical term.
Right.
Into like the 1990s. And it was like, what? I mean, it wasn't, it was socially frowned upon because the remember the Black Eyed Peas had to create another version.
Yeah. Let's they had get to create it started.
A, let's get it started for common, you know, use.
Right.
But anyway. So she's manipulating him to get rid of Dodd and kind of to get rid of Teddy too. Because what it turns out was that she blames Teddy for getting rid of her boyfriend and in a way, yes, Teddy had a lot to do with getting rid of her boyfriend. And so did he, in a way. So did Lenny. And they wind up getting, you know, that's what, you know, reveals why he, well, it's not just that. It's because he writes a note on the back of Teddy's picture that do not trust his lies. That's in there the whole way of this film. That Teddy's trying to steer him to the right path, but because he wrote this thing on the back of his picture, he does not believe him and turns away from him at each corner. And so, you know, like, where does this come from? Why would he have written that? And I'm trying to think of the other elements that that are necessary for the plot, because, oh, there's a... he does have a memory pre-accident of a person with a similar condition.
This is the black and white plot, which I was waiting for you to get to.
He was an insurance investigator. And there was a man who had a similar case, which, of course, how rare this fucking is. I was kind of like, you know, this was kind of a attempt at a Sixth Sense kind of like, oh my God, you know, kind of thing. But it was kind of like a, well, how often do these fucking cases happen?
Well, so, it's rare, but I mean, yeah, I wasn't thrown by the fact that it happened to two people who happen to know each other. It contextualized everything.
What are the odds of two people with this situation, though?
It's fiction. Who cares about the odds? It serves the fucking story.
But in the end, you know, I was right for being skeptical about it, because that's not what really happened here, is it?
Well, they leave that open, because you can't really trust Teddy in the end.
There is a scene at an hour and 30 minutes into the movie where they're at the end of the flashback.
Yes,
story,
I have a note about that scene. But
where they switch the two.
Yeah, but I don't trust that particular scene. I don't trust anything that anybody says in this movie, which is the beauty of it. Everything is unreliable.
Yeah, but, you know, there was no reason for Teddy to... because think about it. It's because he can't remember anything. You can be entire. You can say whatever you want to him, including being incredibly honest to him.
Right.
If you know he's not going to be able to write it down. And so the last things that Joey Pants told him, that was all pretty much spelled it out. Pretty much what was going on in the end.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, he's it's a really sad story though. The memory of the insurance investigation, because it's a guy who has the same thing he does. And his wife is desperate. They can't get insurance coverage because he deems that it is a mental disability and not a physical one.
Right.
Which, I don't know.
2000, I mean, mental health issues were not taken seriously.
It's, you know, the insurance companies are going to do what I mean.
Well, yeah, an insurance company is going to do anything they can not to pay.
To get out of pay. Right. Like, hence why you had Superstorm Sandy and actually not a hurricane, because they would have paid billions more.
Right.
And so suddenly a hurricane is magically a superstore.
Right.
Which happened after this film, right?
Like a year
after it. Yeah. You're right, 12. Just a really sad story because the wife is finally just loses all of her hope and decides to give her husband one last test. And that the thing is, she's still like relying upon him to help give her insulin shots. And she thought if he's faking it, which he clearly says over and over again, he never said he was faking it. He just said it was mental.
Yeah.
And not
I
physical.
Don't have a lot of sympathy for her there.
And, she gets desperate and decides, well, he couldn't possibly administer the insulin shots repeatedly, killing her. He would never let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, after the second or third time, like, was it three times she did it?
I don't remember how many, but
I forget,
after repeated insulin injections,
like,
she passes
Christ.
Away. She goes into a coma.
She goes into a coma, and he's just pretty much in an institution on his own. And, I guess we could say hilarity ensues at this point, because they go back, and, as we alluded to, Teddy kind of spells it out.
Goes back to how Teddy and Leonard, the guy with amnesia, met.
And it all really makes sense what Teddy said. Everybody was using him, and in the end, he used himself in a way, you know? He kind of got addicted to the chase. He doesn't want to remember what happened to his wife. So he was pretty much just picking up this thing on revenge.
Yeah.
And it does explain the one thing they really don't clear up, which is why he would take... See, when he executes Jimmy, they go back finally to him killing Jimmy, Natalie's boyfriend. He takes his suit and his car. Why would he do that?
Yeah, they don't really explain that part.
And I think the only thing the only thing that makes sense to me, because, I mean, it was obvious he was in stolen car and clothes and stuff, because they're like, what the fuck, you know? Anytime he'd walk over to, like, Natalie, and then they'd be like, oh, that's your car, kind of thing. So it was obviously that was stolen. And even Teddy alluded, like, whose car do you think this is? Like, what do you think you've become? He keeps saying that. Who have you become? And the deal is, Teddy lays out that he's already killed the actual murderer, and Teddy just decided to use him to take out other drug dealers or people that were kind of hard for him to reach legally. And so Natalie, of course, caught on to this and you know, wanted to get back at Teddy. So she used him to get back at it, but ultimately Lenny used himself to get Teddy.
Yeah.
And of course the reason for that is that he didn't care how much longer this is going on for, you know? Like, he figures he'll just find other other Jimmy G's out there himself. Johnny G's. Jimmy, Johnny, it's all
John,
the same
not
thing
Jimmy.
In the end.
John, not Johnny, it was John G.
Yeah. Well, the boyfriend was actually Jimmy.
Yeah, the boyfriend was Jimmy. The supposed killer was
Johnny. And hilarity ensues, man. I mean, that is really the whole plot.
Yeah. I like how it starts at the ending.
Yes.
You know, we really don't know what happens after this conclusion. He does set himself up to not care, and now I have a new quarry to go after. But when he gets him at the end, where does he go from there? It's an interesting question.
We're right. It does leave. I mean, he's either like the law is going to find him for doing this. And then, of course, you know, how do you try a guy who can't remember anything that happened?
This is my one question, because I'm not nearly as nitpicky as you are with this. But I do wonder, because he was an insurance investigator, a job that relies very heavily on rationality, and he's on this killing spree. It seems a little out of character for someone who's so rational.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I get the emotion of wanting to kill the guy who killed and raped your wife, but it seems like you would understand, no, you're going to go to prison if you're successful.
I don't think... I mean, he doesn't really remember what he's doing anyway.
Maybe he thinks that'll get him off.
I mean, how do you try a person who can't remember anything?
Yeah. And I also like at the beginning, we know as little as Leonard does.
Yeah.
It really puts totally you in the dark.
But the stuff that Teddy told him in the end is really a good explanation why somebody would do this and why somebody wouldn't care what happens next. Uh-huh. You know? Like, I don't know how he'd find another Johnny G after Teddy.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe even him and Natalie just have a relationship after this.
I hope not. Kind of hated her.
I mean, she could continue to use him for, you know, these purposes. But eventually, someone's going to figure out something if there's a cop that's been shot and stuff, you know.
And the system he uses, I very much related to, because in addition to ADHD, I also have OCD. Like, actual professionally diagnosed OCD. And I am very particular and very systematic about certain things. Some time ago, you needed to see my notes for your spreadsheet on for past episodes, and you were horrified by how like precise and detailed they were.
If there's a condition that's the opposite of OCD, I guess that would be me. Chaos theory, that would be me.
But yeah, I'm practically following a script here.
Oh yeah,
and that's the nature of that condition as well. They're not related at all, but I'm very particular and very specific about certain things too. So I appreciated that about how Leonard was dealing with his condition.
Pull back the curtain a little bit. When we say impromptu plot summary,
yeah,
that is really impromptu.
Yeah, there
is
that's no why you do
script
it.
That I'm following here with it. I am really just giving the details from memory.
Yeah, I'm the one with the script. You're see the fans.
I've got some notes here, some points to remember. Actually, this week the notes are different. A lot of it is speculation as to where this was heading.
Uh-huh.
Some of it I nailed, some of it just throwing some stuff at a wall.
I do think the tattoos were a little extreme, and this is coming from someone with tattoos.
I mean, when you're doing it yourself, yes, extreme.
Well, and just the whole idea of having this permanent thing on your skin as a note for something that, as far as you know, is going to be a temporary thing.
Oh, and why I believe Teddy also is that final Polaroid of him smiling, obviously, like, with blood everywhere. Oh, yeah. That was totally him killing somebody else.
Yeah, that was the as I understood, that was the actual killer.
Right.
You know, that's when they tracked down the actual guy who raped and murdered his wife, and he killed him. Teddy took that Polaroid, and then Leonard didn't remember it, so Teddy thought, okay, I can use you to take out other people.
Right. The crux of the story, though, is that Teddy is an idiot. Because, I mean, how long did he really... once they killed the second... once they killed Jimmy, you know, why would you stay around with this guy, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do like how easy it is to follow the story despite how it's told.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't hurt your brain that much.
I mean, I'm sure the way I told it... probably, made people go, what the hell? But yeah, it is told, but in a much more smoother fashion than that. I probably should have stuck with chronological order.
Despite being out of order, that's an impressive feat. I also liked how the telephone call worked as exposition. He's talking to some unnamed person on the telephone in the black and white sequences, and it covers a lot of the exposition.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the story of insurance investigation comes from.
Mm.
The Sammy Jenkins story. Played by the principal from...
I forgot. I skipped over that
from
note.
The Goldbergs.
Great to see, I didn't get to it yet. It's great to see Steven Tobolowsky as Sammy. Love his work.
I'm sure we saw him in something else not that long ago, and I forget what. But just a heartbreaking role.
He's in a ton of things. Usually he plays comedic roles, but it was great to see him in a more dramatic role. I love that they point out that memory is unreliable, and Leonard has a whole scene about that.
Oh, yeah, you never, you know, when they dramatically do it on stage and there's, like, things are askew, that's the perfect way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I did look this up. I think it's neuroscifi.com.
Uh-huh.
Neuro, you know, psyfi.com. And this is, you know,
I have some trivia.
An actual condition.
And many medical experts have cited Memento as featuring one of the most realistic and accurate depictions of anterograde amnesia. Caltech neuroscientist Christoph Koch called it the most accurate portrayal of the different memory systems in popular media, while physician Esther M. Sternberg, director of the Interrogative Neural Immunes Program at the National Institute of Mental Health, identified the film as close to a perfect exploration of the neurobiology of memory.
I think the only thing where it deviates from reality is that, and this is a direct quote from the site, people with anterograde amnesia are not necessarily aware of their condition.
Mm.
Shelby writes notes to himself so that he can keep track of events and understand facts. But a lot of patients with this, you know, don't even trust things that they've written,
yeah,
because they don't even recall writing them.
There is a certain level of self-awareness there that would almost require an outside party to tell him, you have this condition, this is what you need to do to deal with it.
Right. Like, there's a conductor they talked about that he journals constantly but never acknowledges any of his other entries despite them being in his handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so really, you know, they're relying upon other people to help them,
right,
you know, take care of themselves.
Now, there is one scene where he sleeps with Natalie. And I can't help wondering about the legality of, you know, consent in a situation like this.
Oh, that is really weird, because, yeah.
You can't remember if you consented.
But he hires a prostitute and...
Oh, yeah, in one scene as well, yeah.
And just like...
Well, with the prostitute, that's different.
Yeah.
Because she was hired, money was exchanged. There's presumably a trail there. But with Natalie, there is nothing.
Yeah.
There's her word, which is fascinating. If you don't remember consenting, can you say you consented?
And you have no idea who this person is after a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, he wakes up next to her and just kind of like, okay.
it's a can of worms they didn't really address, but I thought it just happened to occur to me, and I think it's kind of fascinating.
Like, if the genders were swapped.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. what, you know, what? That's a real confusing mess. Because one person could consent at that moment,
mm-hmm.
but 10 minutes later, not remember that. Yeah, just a mess.
Love how they recontextualize the stuff we've already seen just by going back a few seconds.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't seen I didn't remember the Seinfeld episode, never seen the play there. That's referencing, so this was new to me when I first saw it many years ago.
I mean, all it really should... that opening scene was missing was Jason Lee going, I suppose you're wondering how I got in this situation. But mm-hmm. I think that actually came after this.
Yeah, that did. Also have to wonder, if he remembers Sammy's story so well, why does he need the Remember Sammy Jenkins tattoo?
Yeah.
Because he tells that story over and over again. Apparently it was before the accident, so it makes sense that he remembers it. Why does he need the tattoo to remind him to remember that story?
Yeah. And I truly believe that he was Sammy, and that's why he has that tattoo.
Okay. And I'm not saying he definitely wasn't Sammy. I'm just saying I don't trust anything.
A lot of sense. It makes a lot more sense than two people with this really rare condition to be, you know, like, oh, I just happened to meet somebody else with this condition.
And maybe the tattoo reinforces the fiction.
Yeah.
And that, okay, I think I'm coming around.
And obviously, the fact that his wife didn't really die from the murder, but because of him, it is something he would definitely want to forget, that it's something that happened to somebody else instead of
See,
him.
I kind of liked that, mate, the thought of maybe there actually was a first killer to at least justify the beginning of it as much as you can. But if there is no, if he was the actual killer, that's and he everything was just him being used by Teddy. Although that kind of justifies the beginning.
Oh, yeah, it totally does. Well, Teddy's an idiot because, I mean, think about this. You know, this guy has this memory condition. You've got him to kill two people for you. But then you start noticing instead of him leaving town, he's hanging out with the person he's just killed, his
The
girlfriend.
partner of the person he
Yeah.
mistook out.
He's living in her house for a little bit there. Like, I'm not sure how long he was in her house. Maybe it might have been a day or two, but he was there and he knew he was there. And as soon as you saw the two of them together, he should have left town himself, because it didn't occur to him that he had the tattoos. Of course she saw the tattoos if he was living there.
There's always something that obvious that you don't catch. We've talked about the one in Primer that kind of makes the story work. That if the characters were smarter in one moment, the story wouldn't happen.
Well, Teddy, it's the classic tragedy, hubris,
I wouldn't call Teddy's death a tragedy, but
he's a cop, he's getting rid of, bad guys, but he's using really shitty way to do it. Kind of a vigilante, but using this person with this condition, taking advantage of it, and then not seeing the obvious signs that the other person, that this guy's girlfriend that was killed, is going to get back at him. And really, in the end, Lenny, set himself up to get Teddy. Nobody else.
Natalie didn't go after Teddy.
God, she wanted
Leonard
to.
went after Teddy.
You thought that the whole thing was set up, that it wasn't real, that she did it. That's the big fake in this, is that it was Lenny that said, "Well, I'm going to fucking get this guy next."
Again, there's that self-awareness of his own condition and kind of using his own condition is a little suspect, but I gotta say, stepping out of the story a bit, Guy Pearce's American accent, very solid. He's Australian.
Yeah, very solid.
And normally Brits and Australians and New Kiwis, when they do American accents, they aim very Midwestern and it's kind of obviously fake. But
I like
his is
Hugh
very
Laurie's. I
solid.
think we've talked about that.
His is good too.
Anthony LaPaglia is another good one. I had no idea he was Australian until for years, until like an interview. I'm like, wait, what?
I don't think they needed to establish that he tattoos himself because no artist is going to care. As long as you're paying for it, they'll put anything on you. And not
Yeah,
ask
but it was
questions.
about getting it done quickly, which.
Oh, true.
But honestly, that doesn't really make any sense. Does he really have the memory to get that tattoo long enough? I mean, I guess
Well,
he's following a
it's
note
going
that he
from what he
wrote.
wrote down.
Yeah.
I liked the line, the pleasure of a book is wanting to know what happens next in a movie that's told backwards. It was a nice little wink to the audience.
Yeah.
If Nolan has one fault, and I generally am a fan of his work, although I haven't seen his more recent films, at least not in their entirety, he gets a little too into his gimmicks.
Well, this movie is entirely the gimmick, though, you know?
Inception, I love Inception, but it is very gimmicky.
Yeah.
But I love how he commits and he does go super into the gimmick and try to, at least break some rules. I like that he was suspicious of Teddy trying to make him suspicious of Natalie.
Well, I think there's points where he's gonna follow along with Teddy, but then he checks the back of that picture
And
and
he says, don't
said,
believe
"Do
Teddy's
not trust
lies.
his lies."
There were a couple of nice twists. He's on the phone with this person he's been, you know, expositing to. And then he takes the bandage off of a new tattoo and it says, never answer the phone.
And yeah, that gimmick, like there was only two people that could have been, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You knew it couldn't be some new character. It was either Natalie or Teddy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once he said, sir, I was like, oh, it's Teddy.
Yeah.
And then Teddy goes and says, it's a cop. And mm-hmm. of course, I'm like, you know, that he's laughing at you. And
right. Also, the twist of Natalie using Leonard was nice. Because we didn't see that coming. At least I didn't see that coming.
Well, you see that she's beaten up and you're not sure, like, who did it.
Mm-hmm.
She claimed in the first scene that you saw her that it was her boyfriend, and she sends him along. And that's after, of course, they had the him beating the guy up, mm-hmm. and then after him being chased by the guy.
I was a little confused when they get to that murder where he gets the suit and car. Like, it seemed like a bit of a time jump, which is an odd thing to say about this movie, but... Yeah, I kind of feel like I didn't have my bearings when they got to that scene.
That was a surprise because I just assumed that he was set up with that, like given the clothes and the car
mm.
and told to do it or something like that. I wasn't expecting that was his idea, which I'm like, wait, what? Why would he have done that?
And the whole slow burn of the reveal at the end with Teddy and Leonard was great. And I just love how everything in this movie becomes questionable. Because you have someone who can't form memories and two people who were using him.
Yeah, you have two people that are lying and one person that can't remember reality, pretty much.
Mm. Which just puts everything up in the air. Sequels and remakes?
Sequels and remakes.
I'd be interested to see a modern remake with a smartphone.
Yeah, I think our technology would take a lot of this plot out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm curious to see it because I would like to see how it would work.
Well, because it would be him talking to himself instead of telling him.
But the whole reason he got the tattoos was because he said that Sammy had too many notes. He couldn't keep track of them.
Yeah. So
he couldn't write everything down. On paper, because he'd lose things. That's why he got the tattoos. A phone takes care of that.
He didn't really lose stuff, did he? Like, you know, there he's missing 12 pages.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, and at first you're like, is that a lie? But then you're remembering, wait a minute, there was stuff of his wife's that he was just burning, you know,
yeah.
and getting rid of. Like, he's really just trying to get rid of her from... his mm-hmm. memory altogether yeah. in the end.
Right.
And of course you have to wonder how many times has he relived that night mm-hmm. where they were attacked.
Right. Probably way too many.
Yeah.
But you're pointing out that a smartphone kind of ruins the story is exactly why I want to see someone try it to see if they can make it work. Because I agree. It kind of would break the story, but I'm curious if there's a way to make that work.
Right. Because, I mean, the movie ends if he could write down Natalie manipulating him,
mm-hmm.
but he couldn't find a pen in time.
Yeah, true. That's the scene where it would break. Yeah. Because the whole reason she could use him is because he couldn't find a pen to write down that she was using him, and so he forgot.
Yeah.
If he was using a phone, that's not an issue. Huh. Yeah.
But of course, the double fake is that he wanted her to do this to him anyway.
Yeah.
It's why he put the clothes on. It's why he, you know, put Teddy down as his next target.
Right. On a brains.
On a brains.
I love it. I haven't seen it in years. It holds up. I just love how Nolan makes the story work when it shouldn't. In terms of how in terms of the order it's told in, should be 10 times more confusing than it ends up being. I'm going 5.
Yeah, it's an easy 5. I mean, there's some great acting in here. There's some, you know, I wouldn't say extensive action scenes, but enough to keep you in suspense. I think the story has enough swerves, but I think you can kind of figure it out along the way. It's not like a huge shocking turn, which means it was set up properly in the
Yeah,
end.
exactly. And what have we learned?
That the Discount Inn, come for the service, stay for the Discount Inn. The discount.
And I learned that I need more tattoos. It's
Do
been
you?
years.
Really? Are you gonna have like someone's license plate
No,
number?
no, no. I just, seeing all of the tattoos on him reminded me of that I was supposed to have a sleeve a year ago.
Yeah, my niece is now like a big shot tattoo artist.
Nice.
I don't know how that all happened, but it
Just
did.
a quick housekeeping note. I have decided to abandon zombietakeout.com in terms of updates.
Oh yeah.
It's the software it runs on is over a decade old. It crashes practically every time I try to update. So there won't be any more new episodes on there. I'm going to keep it open for another month or two while we move everything over to what will be public. Spreadsheets on Google Docs for the lists, for the movie list, and for the rec list. And all of the episodes are on archive.org. So if you want to find an old episode, just go to archive.org, type in Zombie Takeout Episode X, and you'll find it. So we don't really need the site anymore anyway.
We
So
should at least put like a message on the site to,
probably, yeah.
because if they're listening to us now, they found us.
Well, yeah, and johnandscotto.com, the WordPress site, will be continuing as it has been for years now.
Yeah.
Normally, that's our main hub. And that's it for Memento until 2 weeks from now, because you need next week off. We'll be
Yes.
reviewing 12 Monkeys, another classic
Oh, nice.
mindfuck.
I haven't seen that one in a long time.
Same here. I really don't remember much of it. Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There you
are.
are.